Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Jim McRitchie, who's editor of and founder of corpgov.net, one of the first websites, if not the first website, devoted to corporate governance issues. I've been a big fan of Jim's work for a long time, and so the first question for you, Jim, is what led you to launch corpgov.net? I think it was 95 or 6. What year did you launch?
1995. Yeah, the fall of 1995. Actually, a little bit embarrassing, but I was trying to get a job at CalPERS. I was trying to get them to set up a unit specializing in corporate governance and to hire me to run the shop. And I had some ideas and evidence about, you know, how they could make more money and help members and taxpayers through double bottom line returns. I didn't call it double bottom line returns back in 1995, but you know, essentially it was, you know, through their investments they could help not only their economic returns, but the social and environment background of their members in California here. So I built the site as part of an effort to demonstrate to them that I knew something about the subject. And at that time, I was heading a legislative office for another State Department, just happened to be in the same building as CalPERS. So it made it easy for me to pop downstairs or go out running with Rich Copas at lunch hour and talk to them about this idea, and they took half the idea. they put together the unit, but instead of hiring me, they hired a fellow who headed their own legislative office. So they kind of liked the skill set there. And actually, Glenn Miles, the fellow they hired, he's now at Stanford at the Rock Center, and we keep in touch. And you know, he was, if you're going to lose out, it's good to lose out to Glenn. So I was discouraged, but you know, that ended within a few months because I began to discover what a powerful tool the internet was. I really didn't know that when I started the site. You know, back then, and that was before Google, I could type in corporate governance into a searcher like Alta Vista or something, and I'd get a few hundred hits. And I thought about that in our discussion this morning, and I thought, well, let me check that out. So I looked up, and today you get 12 million hits by typing in corporate governance. So, you know, for the first couple of years, I could keep up with everything that was posted about corporate governance by just checking in every day and sorting by date. But today I can't do that.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I soon had discussions with people, the editor of Barron's, and corporate secretaries in Hong Kong, and people in the UK, South Africa, India, Australia, Russia, all around the world, and you know, I began to think, well, hey, this is something worth keeping, and I've just had a whole lot of fun with it, and as we discussed just a moment ago, one of the advantages of not getting that job with CalPERS is that since I'm totally independent, I've really never felt the need to censor myself. So, you know, I can say what I believe on my internet site, and when people call me up and talk to me, I can tell them and not be so cautious. So, anyway, it's been a great.
And I think that's an important lesson learned for the younger people out there, is that, you know, what you did back then was so novel, but now there are so many people blogging, there are so many people out there, and it's so much easier for someone young to really market themselves. And when they get into a corporate job, to realize that it's important, particularly nowadays where job security is not what it used to be, to sort of hang out your shingle and get out there, of course, being mindful of your employer, but the opportunities really are endless. I mean, I consider you one of the original bloggers because of the way you've set up the news part of your site is really set up. It's chronological, and so you were sort of blogging before the blogging software became available. And I could see your network is vast because you come up with ideas for me, for my blog, all the time, that things that I hadn't heard about, and I know that, that many people are reaching out to you, is now I find they do to me, that once you're up there and out there, you realize you develop this network of people from around the world that you otherwise, before the internet, you could never dare to dream of gathering.
Yeah.
So how has your site evolved over time?
Well, you know, it started out, like I said, as a way to learn about corporate governance, and, you know, I basically was like keeping an open notebook in a way on the things that I was reading and my commentaries and, you know, a little bit of a reference library and my interchanges with other people. And it's still kind of set up that way, and, you know, small cracks over the years have developed into chasms now. And, you know, there's parts of the site that I really haven't been able to keep up. Like, I started with a bulletin board feature, and a very primitive bulletin board. And then I used to post letters to the editor and my responses. But, you know, now I get too much correspondence. I can't post that. And then the software that I'm using is, you know, much more antiquated. So, you know, once I start learning from people like you, Brock, with the blog software and everything, I'll be trying to incorporate some of that into my site over the next few years, so that you know, that automates a lot of those activities. So yeah, I'll have databases and whatever. So, you know, as far as the actual site itself, it hasn't changed as much as I would like it to change. It's going to have to change over the next few years, and I'll take the time to make that happen.
I mean, personally, I'm careful to not make too many changes to the site at once, because I think people that come to your site again and again get accustomed to the way it's set up, and if there were drastic changes that occurred frequently, then you lose trust with them.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to figure out, how to incorporate the blog into the site. So, yeah, I'm going to keep my, well, since I rank so high at Google, you know, I'm certainly going to keep my
your domain name's important.
My domain name and even the subdomains. So, but
now, what, you know, one of my favorite parts and rewarding aspects of blogging is the surprises. And it comes from people you wouldn't expect to hear from, and the types of messages, as well as to other surprises. In running your site, what, you know, and unfortunately I haven't been documenting them, but because I forget. But what are surprises that you remember that you found rewarding?
Well, I guess, you know, the whole thing has been a really great adventure. I never dreamed that the Asian Development Bank or the U.S. State Department would ask me to speak in China or Korea or Japan. And, you know, it's been a sheer joy to meet and sometimes work with people like Mervyn King in South Africa, or Pat McGurn, you know, over at ISS, Nell Minow, Bob Monks. You know, I've taken a look at a couple of Bob's books in advance and helped them do a slight amount of editing. And that's been, and he visits me when he's out here sometimes. So that's been just a really rewarding experience. But then I've also worked with people like Aaron Brown when he started E-Rater, which was a kind of a short-lived mutual fund. And Les Greenberg and I, you know, petitioned the SEC on proxy access. And now I've been working a little bit more with Rich Furlato over at AFSCME on trying to follow up on that issue. And then I've worked with folks like Mark Latham and Andy Eggers and Glenn Holton on basically ways to empower retail shareholders through branding. You know, now that, especially with e-proxy, which I've seen, you know, you've covered that issue, we've seen a dramatic fall in what was already a low turnout, and now, you know, can be as low as less than 5%. And so, yeah, this is kind of my project for the coming year or two, is to try to come up with ways where retail shareholders can come back into the fold somehow and feel more like share owners rather than shareholders or bidder, you know, basically bettors, I guess, you know, kind of the racetrack. And, you know, my biggest hope is that will come about through kind of a branding process. Either they'll go to, like, Andy Eggers has started a site on proxy democracy, I think that's what it's called, where basically you can go there and look at how other people are voting. And Glenn Holton's idea is to start a basically a proxy exchange where people would say, okay, my shares are available to vote. And I think those are good ideas. You know, I think that the easiest thing to implement would be to say, okay, well, I would rather give my my proxy to somebody else, somebody I trust, to vote for me. And you can do that very easily because you can do it as far as your broker has a mechanism to allow that to happen. It's just that people do that now through their investment advisors. They'll give their investment advisors their voting rights. But there hasn't been any mutual fund or CalPERS or CalSTRS or somebody like that that will say, hey, I'm willing to accept proxy assignments from anybody out there, you know, who wants to turn over their whole portfolio right, voting rights. And I think that, you know, that's something that there doesn't need to be any legal changes. We just have to find somebody out there willing to do it.
Yeah, so. It'd be a challenge. Well, I appreciate your time. I'm glad we were able to circle back with you. You're so prolific, and look forward to seeing how your site continues to evolve.
Well, thanks very much, and I always enjoy looking at your site. That's one of the things I do when I drink my morning tea. I look at the corporate counsel, and I look at the Race to the Bottom and a few other prime sites. So thanks very much.
Thanks, you. Thanks.